Hello, hello. It's just me today here, Michael, or Don, as some of our English listeners may know me as. And I am here by myself today to talk about a video game. What a surprise. And that video game being Nioh 3 with the review code provided by Koei Tecmo. What is Nioh 3? What is my relation to Nioh? That's what I want to clear up before I get into the game. But if you're just here to hear, is the game good? Yes, very good. Just buy it. All right, cool. To whoever checks out now, at least download the episode still. Thank you. Okay, so Nioh 3. Sequel to Nioh 2 and Nioh. What a surprise. It's a... they don't like to use this word themselves, but it is a Souls-like series. The original Nioh was like a Koei project before the merger with Tecmo, it was developed by Omega Force originally, the Dynasty Warriors guys, and they couldn't quite get it rolling, so it was delayed and delayed. Koshi Iwasawa helmed the entire thing as a producer, one of the founders of Koei, and they just couldn't quite get it to work or like to come together. So at some point it was handed over to Team Ninja, developers of Ninja Gaiden Dead or Alive, and under the lead of Fumihiko Yasuda, who is now the head of Team Ninja. I forgot if he's the CEO, but he is in charge of Team Ninja as a whole. They clearly play Dark Souls, and to my knowledge, they said this is when the entire project kind of came together, and they kind of turned it into a Souls-like, of which back in the day we didn't have a lot. I mean, there was like Lords of the Fallen. I'll talk about that one. There was not a lot of other stuff. So one of the early adopters, and in my opinion, one of the best ones, Nioh 1 is like a little, I'd say Nioh 1, obviously, it's just called Nioh, is a little... It's a good attempt. I like Nioh a lot, but when you play Nioh 2, you're kind of like, oh, this is what they meant. It is a lot better. Nioh 2 is one of those games I personally put on roughly the same level as the actual FromSoft Souls-likes. So, well, if you want to call those Souls-likes, so Dark Souls, Demon Souls, etc. Whereas I'd say like another game on that level, in my opinion, personal opinion, is Lies of P. Or if you just count the combat, then the first Berserker Kazan is also on this tier, except a lot of other things in that game are worse, so it's a little hard to judge. I think Team Ninja referred to it as Mazocore themselves, which is a made-up term by them, but I get it. They don't exactly want to say Souls-likes themselves. That's up to people like me and YouTubers and weirdos in comment sections, which I'm not a part of. So I really like Nioh 2. That game is quite good. So when they announced Nioh 3, I was like, oh, this is going to be very good, naturally, you know. Between that, they had made Wolong, Fallen Dynasty, and Rise of the Ronin, the latter of which I have not played yet. I do own it. Wolong, Fallen Dynasty being like a kind of a weird stepchild deal, whereas Rise of the Ronin was their next mainline push. Wolong is fine. It's okay. Not to be too mean, but it does have a bit of the vibes of from the guys who played Sekiro. Sekiro, people who listen to the podcast regularly know, is one of my favorite games. And Wolong is fine. It's not very good, but I'm sure they learned a lot from it, which they clearly did for 3, I will say. So naturally, we see a little pattern here we can definitely trace back. So Dark Souls 1, Nioh, Nioh 2 is just an iteration on the first Nioh, and it does so in every single meaningful way. It has a lot more enemies. They do keep a lot of old enemies around, Just smarter combat, smarter level design, blah, 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 and so on. Wolong is a little sidestep after Sekiro, and it's not as good. And now the latest FromSoft game being Elden Ring, well, technically Elden Ring Nightreign, but we're getting Neo Nightreign sometime, don't worry, I'm sure. So since their latest one is Elden Ring, which is, again, asset library stuff, open world kind of game you can't really make unless you have made a bunch of games before. You guessed it, Nioh 3 is also at least partially open world. It's not quite. It's not supposed to be completely open world. And I know, like, when a lot of people, especially in something like the Souls community, hear about open world, they immediately think of checklist stuff and really boring gameplay and bad exploration, possibly, whereas this more curated approach of something like the very rigid structure of Nioh 2 or something like Dark Souls, where, I mean, people remember Undead Burg for a reason, not because it's such an open field, but because of the general level design. Okay, but yeah, Nioh 3 is set in three periods, time travel stuff, and each of these have like an, don't not field, but they have like an open, bigger area with actual levels within. It's a bit like how you can run into actual levels in Elden Ring as well. It's a bit like that. And you can still, because the old Nioh games used to be mission-based, so you would only go onto the one mission until the boss and it's over. You can still do that in this game once you finish the mission, and when you get to the next main objective, it is basically structured like that. So, if you were to just beeline the entire game, I don't think it feels a lot like an open world game, but you're actually kind of missing out, because I personally really like the open world of Nioh 3. I keep saying open world, it's just what I use as a substitute. It's not really an open world in the traditional sense that a lot of people might think of, but we are not, I'm not going to try to beat around the bush every single time. Anyway, so the open world is pretty good. As I said, there is a lot of stuff to find. It is not Elden Ring tier in terms of, you're not finding an elevator to find a completely new zone that you have never even like seen in promo material or whatever. That's not what it is. It is, it does have verticality in terms of level design, but the actual world design is very flat. I don't really think this is an issue. You will barely notice that, because the actual level design is good. Because one of the things I think Nioh does really well is encounter design and enemy placement and such, where, because, for example, if we look at a lot of Souls games, not like Souls likes, not the FromSoft ones, what they do wrong oftentimes is that because of the combat's very simple, which we'll get to in Nioh as well, encounter design and enemy design is very important, because that's a lot of your way of interacting with the world, instead of let's say DMC, where Devil May Cry, where you, a lot of your own interaction is your own inputs, a lot of different inputs. You don't really get that in this, but they are very good with that, actually. There's the obvious ambushes, like sometimes you're like, oh, there's a item conveniently placed and with this wall obscuring my vision. I wonder what's in there. And then you get like ambushed from an enemy from the ceiling because you thought it was on the right. But, you know, c'est la vie and all. This is very present in Nioh. That this has always been the case. And even in this open world where you can approach certain stuff from different angles, because there's like also these camps. This might, don't worry, this is not, we're not talking Ubisoft open world here. They will catch us straight here, where, because it's the closest comparison, where you find the tower and then it, here's 1 billion points of quote unquote interest you don't want to do. It's not what we are doing here. We do get stuff marked, which will provide us with upgrades, like new abilities and whatnot. But generally speaking, the entire structure is not not all that checklisty. At least it wasn't to me. By the end, I had actually done everything, but I never felt pressure to do this while I was actually playing the game. So I think just to get that out of the way, the actual world structure does quite benefit this game. I think it works out really well. I was possibly no. Okay, one second. I want to say I'm possibly one of the first people to have ever finished this game who is not part of Team Ninja, of course. But and also 100% the game on accident, because it's not like I could see the trophy list, you know. So because it wasn't live yet by the time I had done it. I think it's quite good. But why do you think that? So for one, Neo, I mean, naturally samurai aesthetic is cool. That's a bonus point. This game is set over three periods of time. The Sengoku warring states, specifically 1572, which is where Tokugawa Ieyasu was still kind of a vassal. And then 1190, the Heian, which you might recall if you're like slightly read on Japanese literature from the Heike Monogatari. And so it's the story of the Taira and the Minamoto, or the Heike and the Minamoto. And then it's 1864, the Bakumatsu, so shortly before the actual Tokugawa shogunate ends, and we're going back to a Tendo. But these are like mostly set dressing. The story is time travel stuff. I'm not getting too much into it. It's fine. It's not really why you're here. I think my favorite story wise, like of in terms of what is actually happening on screen, is Lies of P for Souls Likes. We are not on that level here, but the characters are neat. It's like semi interesting, even if you kind of know what's happening, and you do get one or two neat decisions. But then there's a short segment in a different time, which I'm not going to get into. But that's like we are playing as Tokugawa Takechiyo, who is the one of the descendants of Tokugawa, and is on their way, create a character to become shogun. We have a brother who also wants to become shogun, so he's very mad at us, turns evil, and then now there's the evil time traveling the weird material. What's the right word I was looking for? You know what I mean. It's some bullshit they made up. Honestly, it's a bit trite, but you know exactly what it is. Like our MacGuffin here. It's a bit whatever, but it doesn't really matter. So we go through different time periods. This is not, we don't keep swapping back and forth, even though like once we unlock them we can go back, but that's the general story. We go through the one, then we'd get a little intermission, go to the second one, EDC, and then the game's over. And after roughly, I want to say 30 to 40 hours, depending on how fast you are, how good you are, maybe 50 to 60 if you're really bad at it. And you can actually, just in case you avoid, you can summon people and AI companions for every single boss. So in case you're really worried about beating it, you probably can. The Neo games are notoriously hard. I think they mostly have this reputation because a lot of people try to approach them very similarly to Souls, and that doesn't quite work out. The combat is a bit different. It's faster. You have more inputs on your own, even though I always think the there's a lot of inputs in this game that are kind of nice in theory. I get what you were going for. I don't think it quite works out, because unless you're fighting human opponents that you can easily stagger, a lot of these are just not going to work. Like normal big bosses do not get staggered by normal attacks. They get staggered once their stamina bar is empty, but when you are just wailing on them, they are going to hit you and kill you in like one or two hits. Very unforgiving game, especially because you also lose stamina when getting hit. And You know, if you had zero stamina, you'd stand there like an asshole for 3 seconds or so, and you will probably get hit again and die. So don't just wait on things. And the key pulse mechanic, where you restore a lot of stamina after your own attack chains, is a bit unusual. You gotta get used to that at first. And all the weapons there have 3 stances. In Neo 3, it's actually it's a bit different, because they split weapons into samurai and ninja stance, where each stance has a total of 7 weapons. Some of the old ones have been relegated to ninja stance, so they do not get the 3 stances of high, middle, and low anymore. But they have a completely different moveset, and ninja stance is more focused on dodging, whereas samurai stance is blocking, and you guessed it, Sekiro parrying, accompanied by a kind of distinct parry sound, which definitely makes you, it's not the same as Sekiro, but it definitely makes you think of Sekiro. Can't really avoid that if you're making a Souls-like and you have parrying. My first association will always be Sekiro. This type of parrying, I mean, where it doesn't interrupt enemy chains, and you can parry these like 8-hit chains of bosses. And then each stance gets 2 weapons at some point, so we had 4 weapons because we can swap between them freely. The ninja stance instead gets like these ninjutsu, so we have an item wheel of 8 items. You see what I'm getting at here. There's a lot of weapons and systems and moves in this. Each weapon, each stance has a distinct ranged weapon as well, which you're not going to use during bosses most of the time, but it is there. And then you have a spirit guardian, which you can use to activate a special form, and you have 2 special moves depending on that spirit guardian, and you can equip so demons to summon and blah 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 blah. You know what I'm saying is there's a lot of systems in Neo. I think generally speaking this is good, but I get why it's overwhelming, because we also have loot on top of that. We have armor pieces, we have weapons, blah blah blah, and you will get showered in loot. It's a bit like the closest comparison would be Diablo. The Diablo games feel quite similar in that regard. Rarities, set bonuses, and so on. Except in this game, of course, your own inputs are a lot more important, I want to say. It's like it's no cookie clicker. Not that Diablo is, but we are definitely closer to Souls than cookie clicker on the spectrum of inputs. But honestly, I played the demo for Neo 3 with the Odachi, so big katana, and I didn't have a lot of fun, to be honest. Not with the actual game, but with the weapon. And then I remembered, oh yeah, it's because I really don't like the Odachi in Neo. It's from a DLC from Neo 1, I think. And I said, okay, I will just play the full game with the normal katana, which is also what I used in Neo 2 most of the time. And wow, turns out you will have fun in this game if you play a weapon you like. And I am one of those people who do not use a lot of different attacks in this game. I'm usually content with pressing square a few times and then triangle. Guess you can tell my Dynasty Warriors background in terms of Koei Tecmo here. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do, especially ninja stance if you're playing some of the weirder weapons. Lots of weird cancels and all that stuff. If you think, oh, I don't want to do that, just play one of the simpler weapons. Just play spears, play katanas. These are all, they have tech, they have stuff going on, but the general gist of it is very simple to understand. And again, there's so much magic and ninjutsu and systems to level up and improve your character. You can ignore most of that. I mean, obviously don't ignore the stats. But you can ignore most of these abilities, because if you hit the boss and it does not hit you, I know this sounds a bit stupid, but this is how it works. If you hit the boss and it does not hit you, it dies and you don't. That is generally how I played the game. Finished both the main game and NG Plus without any sort of co-op or AI summoning by just whacking things with my sword, which will, you know, the enemies die if their HP bar gets emptied. Fortunately, there's also not a lot of cases of bosses just turning into a different guy when they reach zero HP here, which is very nice. So yeah, don't be scared that you might be overwhelmed by this huge amount of systems and upgrades and whatever. Especially for NG, like a normal playthrough. I mean, you can mostly ignore the gear, just equip whatever is the highest number and places you within your desired equip load. They do actually also mark equip load changes with colors, so it's very easy to understand. You see what I'm getting at? This is a system that does not need to be engaged with, provided you do not want it to be. Provided you do not want to engage with it, which is very cool. I support that. That is generally what I think these games should be like, because especially on your first and kind of the second playthrough, you will get by just fine without any of this stuff. You should probably upgrade your weapon though on the second playthrough, otherwise you will get your ass beat. Yeah, so yeah, don't be shy. You can do it. It's not as bad as it looks at a first glance when you watch someone play and they pick up like 10 items after clearing a camp of enemies. I personally do not care for this loot aspect either. If they made a game without all of this, I'd be very happy, because I think their actual foundation is way better than what this loot system might hint at, because feels very stat focused, but you realize a lot of these enemies are very smartly designed. A lot of the encounters are smartly designed. The environment is good. So, yeah, if this is what puts you off, just put the mind goblins aside and just whack things. Just be like me, whack things. So it always works. I wanted to get a bit into the open world again, because there is also side quests and collectibles and whatnot. It is the usual stuff in terms of collectibles, where the first and second Neo game had these little animals or yokai you can collect. The first one had these Kodama, which is little dudes with a hat. Second one has Scampus, which is a round, very round cat. When I say very round, you should imagine a very round cat. And the third one has these little weasels. These are fun to collect and give you upgrades, and they're easy to find, but if you do not care, just you can largely ignore them, but you probably shouldn't, let's be honest. You want to collect little guys, right? They are fun. They're cute. And the side quests are, let's just say, when I was playing NG+, and I was largely ignoring them, because you can get through NG+ very quick, I ran into a boss that, because I hadn't done a certain side quest, turned out to be way harder all of a sudden. You can still do the side quest in retrospect, fortunately, and will make it easier again. So maybe just do all the side quests. They are fun. Like, the story-wise, they're nothing to write home about. We are still talking about Neo here, after all. And no offense, but it is a Team Ninja game. Their narrative is not their exact forte. But the side quests do have good level design, good enemy design, have unique enemies, some unique bosses. Sometimes you will meet bosses from the first or the second game, which is also appreciated, because they do get recontextualized a bit in this new system, this new combat system. There's new things you can do. Now, I'm not getting into like every single detail, but since your own inputs work differently now, like you have new moves and whatnot, new abilities, enemies also kind of get approached differently by you, which is cool. Some of these enemies do not keep up with you. Some of the Neo 1 stuff, they clearly juiced up a bit because of that. But one or two of the enemies are like, yeah, whenever I see that guy, I feel kind of bad for him, because I know he just does not stand a chance in any fathomable way. But generally speaking, yeah, do the side quests. They are very fun. Lots of cool stuff, lots of unique encounters. And some of them even have decent dish writing. That's the highest praise I can give them, really, in that regard. That's really good. So, again, because to me, the main draw with general Souls-likes, I mean, there's lore stuff, of course, there's interesting background story, whatever. World design's cool, level design, art design. But generally speaking, the main draw that which will keep you playing is the mixture of your own gameplay, the level design, and the enemy and encounter design. So generally speaking, if you see a side quest, you see that's more Nioh 3 for you to play. That's good, because, you know, Nioh 3 is very good. That's my general advice I would give for these, for just doing everything on the overworld, because I personally really like playing Nioh. There's some side quests you can unlock that are literally just side missions, much like the old games, where they are set in the same level as an old main mission, but usually you will go backwards through it in some way or shape, and only through part of it. So yes, this is reused assets naturally, which I don't really mind, but I get why some people are not a big fan of this. I would say I think that's fine. What I take kind of an issue with is there's a side missions which is also in line with the series, but I mean there's side missions which are just a bunch of bosses in a row without checkpoints between them. I have also done all of these naturally, not on NG Plus because I'm not that crazy, but I've done all of them on my first playthrough. You can switch freely between NG and NG Plus, by the way, which is very cool, very appreciated. I wish more of these games did that. But the ones that are just like 3 to 5 bosses in a row kind of lose me. I'm not the biggest fan of these. It's just like, here's juiced up bosses, a bunch of them in a row, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, it's fine. It's nothing to write home about, as I said. But generally speaking, I think the side missions and the mission structure is good. You can replay all the main missions too at all points. The game actually does tell you if you're missing collectibles from one, so upgrades, and any of the little scrimblows like the weasels or the cats. That's very good. Something I kept thinking while playing the game, which I have to mention at some point, and yes, I am very well aware of how an interface only has 4 corners in it, so it is very hard to come up with a completely unique interface. But it is funny that should you open your map, your equivalent of the round table hold is marked on the bottom left, and you can access it with a shortcut, the round table hold being the hub from Elden Ring. I know this is not supposed to actually be nitpicking or criticism. It is just a funny coincidence. You look at this game, and this is the general spirit to me with Souls-likes, where you think, oh, you do not pinpoint a Souls-like to one specific thing. Yes, stamina-based combat. A lot of games have combat and dodge rolling and whatnot. A lot of games have some sort of stamina. A Souls-like to me is something you know when you see it. And when I see this interface with the map and where my hub is and how I can access it via that one button, I think, oh yeah, no, they played Elden Ring and they thought this works. We'll do that too. I can't really fault them for it. It's not like this is bad or anything. It's just funny. And again, I do not mean this as actual criticism, because I am aware of Team Ninja's interesting fan base at times. I've been in contact with them. I do like Team Ninja a lot, don't get me wrong, as I said. But yeah, they can be very interesting. One second. I actually need a drink sometime, because this is all like without breaks, without edits and whatnot. All right. Where was I? Okay, so I was saying the enemy design, this and the counter design is good. What I wanted to actually highlight here is, once again, the boss design. There's no real runbacks in this, like in Dark Souls 1. Or Dark Souls 2, which they largely got rid of with Dark Souls 3 and Elden Ring. Sometimes it's like a bit annoying, you need to run past one or two enemies, but generally speaking, you don't really. It's like 20 seconds to each boss, so very easy to retry, very quick. It does get annoying at times if you get stuck at something, but what I actually wanted to get at is the boss fights are very good once again. I think something, this is a consequence of Sekiro's systems to me, where a lot of developers give me these defensive tools and now think, well, the player has a lot of defensive stuff. Now we can make the boss do like these 10-hit combos, which is fine. I get it. I have fun parrying these. But especially in a game where you die to 2 or 3 hits, it can be a little exhausting. But I do enjoy it. I think the bosses in this are very good. Definitely one of the highlights. And just like the previous games, really, or I should say, when I say previous games were very good, I usually mean the second one, because it is, in my opinion, way better than the first one. But, yeah, no, they did not get worse or anything from second to the third game, so it's very good. A lot of the bosses are very memorable. A lot of I would not say that by the end of each fight I had completely mastered it, because sometimes you can just brute force your way through this with enough heals and your abilities and whatnot. But especially stuff like the super bosses, there's like secret bosses you can fight. These are hard, and the fights are, they are not like, we're not like talking 6-minute fights or something here, which is quite long in my opinion. But they do last several minutes, and you will need to concentrate during that entire time. And by the end of, you will probably be decent at it, even if some parts can be brute-forced. So, yeah, no, definitely very learnable fights. I have a lot of praise for the bosses in these games. They are kind of highlights to me. Even though generally on higher difficulties, which usually get added via DLCs in these games, where stuff gets remixed and whatnot, they get a little excessive, I would say. But speaking of, so on the higher, something I wanted to highlight, the way NG Plus works in these games is you just get a second difficulty added to your character and you can switch freely. And on the second difficulty, you can kind of ignore a lot of open world stuff. Everything you've collected will already have been collected. But what they do is they actually remix quite a bit. We're not like talking completely new, different enemy layout, but there's a lot of places where a new enemy would be placed, maybe an additional one, maybe it replaced an old one. And a lot of times this will have you thinking, was this even the original? If there's no new enemies, you might be looking at a group and think, oh, was this the original enemy layout? I'm not sure myself anymore. That's interesting. That's good. I like that. NG Plus changes very rare in these sort of games, Dark Souls 2 being the front runner, of course, in that regard. But no, that's good. That's good. I like replaying these games and finding new stuff. I support that. Yeah. There's just a few minor things I want to talk about. I think the music in these games is fine. Never been like a huge fan. It's good. There's some decent melodies, but I've never thought we are not talking, I don't know, Night Rain or something here, which is incredible soundtrack. Naturally, depending on your taste, you might dismiss either as, in Night Rain's case, generic orchestra bullshit, or in Neo's case, generic Japanese classical music, which neither of these really are, but if that's your thing, that's fine. But I think the soundtrack in Neo 3, it's good. It's good. It's not like amazing, but I do want to highlight it at least and talk about it very briefly in that regard. The game looks fine. I have never thought, wow, this game looks amazing, which I have never thought about any of their games, to be honest. It's good though. Looks good. Looks fine. Runs fine. The second area, actually, I was playing on PS5 performance mode, so not a PS5 Pro, normal one. And the second area has a lot of what's like the right word? It has a lot of frame skips, I want to say. There's some parts where it just does not run even. It doesn't never runs at a low frame rate, but sometimes it just skips frames. It's kind of annoying. I should say this is all on a pre-release build though. So any technical issues especially knowing how Team Ninja tend to patch their games for quite a while, might have been solved by the time either the games are just out normally or by the time you're listening to this and playing the game, which might be a bit later after all. So, you know, that's neat. Performance is fine, definitely. I've heard good things about the PC performance, but naturally I cannot verify this myself as I am got a code for PS5 and that's what I'm playing it on all the time. Yeah. So, that's fine. I mean, since I have the game open on the side here just to check different things, I can very quickly check. Yeah, so something I really like about the new games, which I'm when I'm looking at the menu here, they have a lot of settings, a lot of stuff you can alter it to your liking, a lot of control stuff, a lot of display things, all of that kind of jazz. There is a, if you can think of something like a HUD effect or something you want to be displayed on your HUD, you can probably change it somewhere in the menu. There's a lot of cool stuff. Definitely, this is one of the highlights, and they tend to patch these games with more quality of life, which I, again, definitely appreciate, because a lot of other games in this genre do not get this sort of support, which I don't really think is necessary or anything, because, I mean, these aren't service games, but it is nice when the game has either issues or stuff that, and you just realize in retrospect could be changed, that get fixed at some point. I think that's good. The game's really, I almost cursed there, we're not doing that today, but what I just really want to say by with all of this, what I just said is, this is a really good game. You should, if you have the slightest interest in any sort of Souls likes, and if you think, oh well, only FromSoft make the good ones, or I only play like one not FromSoft Souls like every 10 years or something, you should probably make Nier 3 that one. It is definitely up for me as, I mean, it's very early right now, and there's still a lot of games I'm interested in coming out, but it is definitely a contender for favorite of 2016 already. I mean, there's stuff like, okay, not to like make advertisement for other games here, but there's RE9 and Romeo is a Dead Man, so coming out very soonish. There's Marathon, one of my personal favorites, which I'm looking forward to the most. Lots of stuff still coming out this year, naturally, but at the end of the year, this is definitely going to be a contender for my favorite either way, because I, as I said, I have been playing this game a lot. I would not have finished it this quick if it weren't good. I would not have got 100% if it wasn't interesting. And I would not have finished NG Plus this quick if I was not interested in ringing the game empty, essentially. Just getting out as much as I can from this before one of the two DLCs they have announced comes out, which is going to be like one of those, you know, the typical Souls like expansions, you know what you're getting at with those, basically big level packs with movesets and new enemies, new weapons, blah blah blah, you get the idea. That's fine, I will be there, because Nier 3 is really, and I mean that, really good. As like a little closing word, I will say we are going to have a second episode on this game eventually, hopefully at least, which is going to be in German, and not just me, it's going to be me and Timo, if you remember him. I've talked about the other Nier games with him, I've talked about a bunch of other stuff with him, including Sekiro. So yeah, look forward to that, hopefully, but until then you can always just play Nier 3, which is very good, please go do it. And then play Nier 2. Play Nier 1, but you don't have to if you don't want to. But yeah, no. Excellent game. We don't give ratings, but And I'm not going to say if we gave ratings, this would be a number XYZ. That doesn't make any sense. But this is one of those things where if you have, I would say if you have even a passing interest, you should absolutely play this. Bye-bye. I hope you have a nice day.